the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Mark Gospel, chapter 16, which started last week, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, last week we started looking at two words. We looked at the word gospel and we looked at the word preach, right? And we said, because this is a third party account, what do I mean by third party account? It means that in the person of Mark, he wasn't there when the statement was made. So by saying, go into the world and preach the gospel, we need to look at what is the gospel. So I say, it is good news. Anything can be good news. Are you saying, now, when I was much younger, I used to like yogurt and chocolate. And I remember there was one of my dad's friends who had a yogurt factory. And the factory was so full. Our house was close to their place. And he brought about, was it not 16 freezers? And they put it in our compound. And they loaded it, they're always loading it with yogurt. You know what that means? And I was still in it, amen? If you are the one, won't you? You won't. So the man discovered that we are still in it. Myself, not only me. Yeah. The entire household, you just go there, pick. So he just said, you know what? He gave us one freezer. These are our own. And then the remaining 15 is for them. To God be the glory. You know, that he gave me lactose intolerance because I'll just put chair beside the freezer. There's no point going inside and coming out. Just carry chair as you're taking fresh breeze. Freezer open down. Just and so when they were going, they moved their factory somewhere else. And I was sad. Even though they were expanding, but I was sad. Now, if someone comes to me and tell me they are coming back and they are bringing another freezer, is that good news or not? Is that the gospel? What I mean is that the gospel cannot just be good news. I told last week, to someone who is looking for a child, you call it fruit of the womb, whatever that means. Someone who is looking for a child, the good news is that you will bear a child. Right? It's not necessarily gospel. You will bear a child. Now, if you go to Unilag or Yabatech, a university, and you go to a 300 level student and you say, you will bear a child. I promise you, by this time next month, you are pregnant. The person is going to tell you, why are you cursing me? Why are you wishing me bad? I say, no, it's the same thing I told that other woman. And she was happy. And she was saying, give me a JJ, give me a E. And she was glad. Why are you not glad? Because I'm looking for my CGPA to rise. You know, some CGPA. It's flat. Man, there was one guy like that. I asked him, what's your CGPA? He said, don't worry. Me, I already understand. I said, don't worry. He said, at this point, let me be sincere with you, sir. They can't even give me third class. I said, what would they give you? I don't know if they are four or five. If they are fourth or fifth class. That it is poor. What are you doing? Hallelujah. Now, you go to that kind of person, and you say, God will give you a child. He's looking at you and say, I don't understand. If I get a child, is that a 5.0? The good news is different with different people. Now, if I ask all of you to write what good news you want tomorrow, I'm sure we are going to have 20 different options. Now, I said 20 because a lot of people just write money. It's normal. When you're in a third world country, which is developing, amen. Amen. How do you believe in Nigeria? And you love Nigeria. I do. The pastor don't force me to raise my hand. You love Nigeria. That means you love Nigeria. Don't curse your country. Yeah? Don't curse your country. Believe. Amen. Amen. Now, if I ask you to write, what do you want tomorrow? What do you want? What good news will you be expecting this week? You know, different things. Different things. To some, it's going to be healing. Oh, Pastor, I feel sick somewhere in my body. I want this to disappear forever. Some say, I need to pay my rent. I need the money. Some say, I need to foot an hospital bill. I need the money. Some say, I need to send money to my parents. I need the money. So I want to say, my academics shambles. I need help. And I want to say, I'm lonely. I need a bae. Amen. And I want to say, I'm lonely. I need a boo. And I want to say, it's a different kind of request. And that means that is not the gospel.
So whatever is going to be the gospel has to be universal. Because they go and preach the gospel. So we start looking at that word gospel. And we said this gospel is not subject to creativity. I think we said that last week, right? Meaning, it's not something you invent or re-invent. You're not trying to prove anything. God created the world. Yes, is the Bible talk about the creation of the world. You're not trying to prove Big Bang or how the world was created. Nah, that's not the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. No, get where I'm coming from. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain. Because I delivered unto you first of all what I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose the third day again according to the scriptures. Now, he's giving you the facts of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. Facts of the gospel. Fact of the gospel. Then look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace, which was bestowed upon me, which was not in vain, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. So, he's saying to communicate the gospel is by grace. It is not an anyhow event. It is not an anyhow news. God gave us what to say. He mentions the facts, the charters. Christ died for sins. The moment that is missing in your message, there's no gospel. The gospel does not change from nation to nation. It does not change from demography to demography. Oh, because this family is poor and this family is rich, what the gospel will mean to them will be different. No. It's the same gospel. Say same gospel. Look at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. So he says, the power of the message is the resurrection. The power of the gospel is the resurrection. Look at that word. He said, if Christ be not risen. In the Greek, the way that word was written, egerio, the way it was written is not like past tense. It's almost like something that is happening now. He didn't write it as historical. He writes as something that is happening now. If Christ, there's no English like this, but it's almost sound like if Christ is not rise. There's no English, there's no grammar like that. But that's the way he put it. He didn't put it like something that has happened. Oh, he has past tense, he has risen. No. He's saying he's still rising, he's alive. I'm going to look at that much more in some other teachings. We need to build up to it. But let me just take you there. That's it. If Christ is not alive, if Christ is not right here, right now, then our preaching is in vain. So again, we said the gospel is not creative. Look at Matthew 28. Because when you hear gospel, to someone that needs money, the gospel to him is money. To someone that needs a job, the gospel is a job. So when he gets the job, the gospel will change again tomorrow. Then why did Christ die? Christ did not die so that you can have a job. Even stupid people have jobs. Christ did not die so that your shop can be full. You just need a rich uncle for that. Not those uncles that will promise you bicycle. Some of my uncles, I still, I just got them today. You are still owing me something from 94, 95. Where is that bicycle? And their children now are also messaging. And the culture goes on. Amen. I'm at one of my, I don't know what we call it now. Send me a message. Ah, uncle. I say, uncle, okay. Okay. Here we are. Here we go. Sir, you promised me. I'm working on it. Amen. Is that it? You reap what you sow. Hallelujah. So again, Christ is not died so that you can get a bicycle. You can get a PS4, a PS5, Nintendo DS. That would be a stupid reason for him to die. Really. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is after the resurrection. Now this is Matthew's account of what Mark said. When Mark said in Mark 16, 15 to 20, this is what Matthew is saying. So different account, the same message. Matthew will say, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and the earth. Then he says, go and teach all nations, We said the word teach there is the word Matthew. Now, you need to get that word. M-A-T-H-E. M-A-T-H-E. T-E-U-O. Matthew. Matthew. What does it mean? It means to school people. That means the gospel is not just a one-time thing. It's not what you tell sinners. No. It's what you tell the church. We don't hear the gospel once. Oh, after we have not heard the gospel, then we will now start just gyrating in church. Vibrating. So I like the vibes of that church. No. The gospel is what we still hear. The gospel said, go and teach all nations. Now, Manitio, we said it means to school, to enroll people in the school of God's word. Go and teach all nations. Now, all nations means different kinds of people. And he says, you are going to teach different kinds of people the same gospel. The same gospel. So the message does not change. Even when the people change, even when the events change, even when the situation change, the message is the same. Sometimes we are scared. And we are, so we now change. So when you see, let's say I remember when I was in university, I preached to a lecturer in physiology department. And the man is funny. You know, there's this, you can be very naive to say, this is a lecturer. So you change your message, right? Jesus loves you, sir. And you're thinking about your grades. May not give you F. He just has to tell you that he's with you. Now you go to someone in your class who you see that is struggling. Say, the Lord is telling me that I will raise you from the ashes. Why didn't you tell the lecturer that I will raise him from the ashes? And he will bring your own grace to the ashes. Amen. The message cannot change. You teach all nations the same message. Imagine a mathematics teacher walks in class. You have teachers here? You're a teacher? Anyone? I thought educators are proud to be educators. Come on. Teachers? Okay, good. When did you become a teacher, Brashola? Ex-teacher. When did you teach? You teach your disciples. You know? Imagine a mathematics teacher. You employed. You're a school principal. You employ someone to teach mathematics. Then he enters the class. Say, these children are not feeling. I don't like their faces. Today's dull. Give me a J. Everyone answer J. You look at the period. It's mathematics. Give me a E. Give me a S. Jesu, your umbrella over me is love. I am from afar. Give me a J. J. Mathematics class. The moon me do to Bamila. I saw that sign of just like gong gong. And you go to the class. Sorry. Is this a music class? No. Mathematics, but their faces. The message cannot change. You stick to it. Rich, poor, educated, not educated. Happy, sad, the message of the gospel is enough. You teach all nations the same thing. So, we said the word, we look at the word preached. Mark 16, 15 again. Go and preach the gospel. We said the word keruso, right? Remember? K-E-R-U-S-O. Keruso, to preach. It means to announce. Say to announce. Yeah. I gave an illustration last week of newscaster. So imagine, there's a newscaster. There's a lot happening around the world right now. Iran, Israel. You should read the news. Amen. Pray for world peace. There's a lot happening. I should just not put them out. You know them with that. Amen. don't put anything. They just remain like this. Aha. You know, you are using drones and all of that. So, imagine a newscaster. They ask you, talk about. Let me go into that news now. The best student that wrote jump. I don't know if they still jump or something. So let's say the best student had 370. So it comes. The best student that from the just concluded jump scored 370. Her name, Oyinkosola Daudu. I don't believe Yorubas actually know book like that. If there's something like notebook, all right. I don't believe the Yorubas are intelligent. But we need to investigate more. Sha, left to me, I don't think she's the one. What would you call that kind of newscast? No, give me an adjective. You don't want to hear what me I want to say. Oh, come on. An adjective for the kind of that kind of newscaster. Citadel. Nobody has any adjective. Unprofessional, Unethical. I was going to say idiot. Because how would you don't add your emotions to news? Even I know it's going to be hard for Chelsea fans at the end of the season to say Arsenal have won the league. But you have to cast the news. Amen. You have to cast the news. You have to say it like it is. Arsenal are champions. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
The church of God say amen.
Amen.
I believe and I receive. Hallelujah. We are walking on tight ropes here. Amen. So, but no matter how emotional you are, no matter how biased you are, it is the news. You announce it. A town crier cannot go. The king say we should gather. But me, I feel like it's not that important. If you like, don't come. Then you did not cast the news. The gospel is a newscast. The message does not change when you get there. Mm-mm. You had the message before you got there. The message does not change because you saw the faces. The message does not change because you saw the situation. Oh, I was coming here. I didn't know that there were a lot of crippled people. No. The message is still the same. So when next you're preaching, don't look at face. Don't look at faces. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the environment. Ah, and the people look like they don't have money like that. So let me just preach that Jesus can take him from the Mary clay and become the prince. No. That's not what he sent you. He sent you to preach salvation. The message does not change. You don't add your entertainment to it. You don't add emotions to it. You don't add experience to it. Say what you have been told to say. The gospel is a message. It's not a reaction. It's not a reaction. And some years ago, I was preaching in the U.S. and they did not invite me to preach. I was preaching on the street normally. That's more than 10 years now. And I met someone. He said he was gay. Now, that's like the first time I was actually going to meet someone who was gay, proper. And he the way he said it, just said, so as I was preaching, he said, you know I'm gay. I said, okay. And I continued what I was saying. Now, he thought my message was going to change immediately because why should he change? The same Jesus the gay needs is the same Jesus the liar needs. It's the same Jesus the one who changes numbers at work needs. You bought it for 500,000. You said, procurement, 700. Cost $700. No, you bought it 500. You changed the figures. So, the same gospel. I said, I'm gay. I said, okay. I've been trained enough not to react to you. He said, okay. So, as I was saying, and he was shocked. He said, a lot of people will just condemn him and then they will just go down that lane. You know, so he just turned to Genesis. Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, well, let me first show you that one. If that one not do you, I will show you today. Even though before that time, it was the time I was preaching at a funny motel. It was a motel that was close to where I was staying. And I saw some, I was young. I was very young. I was a prostitute. And I told them, they gave me a cigar. How can you give a boy of 13, 14 cigar? So they gave me a pack, brown. That's the name of the cigar, brown. So I told them, I said, as this cigar is burning, see how it's burning? Your one finger will burn for 1,000 years. I was reacting to them. That's about 2 years before the gay one. I was reacting to them. I said, you know what? The Bible says God made our body. You are using God's temple for something else. God's temple. And they are looking at me like this. You know, they were looking down. Say, Talele. You know, Ibadan. Talele. Bolotiwa. Chonreni. Like someone said, you because what people do is that they send young boys take letter, you know, say, take letter to show up at the corner. So he said, where's the letter? I said, which letter? He said, this is the letter I brought. I raised my Bible. This is the letter I brought. It's the message of life. But if you are not careful, you will burn. It's either you turn or you burn. No, the gospel does not react. Doesn't react. It's the same message. There's an high incidence of drug use, of cocaine and marijuana and all of these things in Lagos. Pastor, I feel that we should do something. Yes, you can do something, but that's not the gospel. You can do something about it. And say, don't use drugs. Say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. Nah, that Jesus did not ask you to go around the world and say no to drugs. So, but Jesus fed people with fish and bread, Pastor. That was after they heard the word for 4 days. Try hearing God's word for 4 days without eating. There is a big difference between you have taught people God's word and you fed them than come and hear, come to our church, you will be fed. You see the difference? Huh? Same thing with the difference between, oh, our facility is jam-packed and we feel we need aeration, and then, so we make it more conducive. Than there's a difference between that and we are now making the facilities look so great so that we can attract people. Difference. Let me get what I just said now. The gospel does not react. Say, don't take drugs, take Christ. I don't have to be a Christian to intervene in drug abuse. Even the people doing the drugs are intervening. You say, smokers are liable to die young, but you advertised it. The one that makes that is funny most is betting. You put the bet everywhere, then you say, bet reasonably. You told me that it's 50 yards. That means, I don't, well, the 50 odds means that it's times 50 that we'll get. Huh? Good. Don't bet. I've told you before in this church. You say, the pastor, but it's not in the Bible. Ah. You expect that the people bet in the Bible. I've told you before, if you have to ask if something is right or wrong, the chances are that what? Say it very well. If you have to ask, is this right or wrong? The chances are that it's wrong. You know, you don't ask, hey, Pastor, sorry, this prayer group that we do every time, is it right or wrong? Have you ever asked that one before? Pastor, coming to church, I don't know. This, okay, I agree. We love Jesus and all. But coming to church every time, is it right? Have you ever asked that question before? What if I give to my parents? Is it right? Is it right to love my country? Is it right to exercise my citizenship and go ahead and vote? Is it right? No, you don't ask those kind of questions. But suddenly you say, is it right to smoke? It's not in the Bible. Why are you asking me if it is right? Because God has put a check in your heart. And that check is beeping. It's beeping. Is it right? Is it right to bet? Pastor, it's just over 2.5. I still understand all those fractions. Someone was telling me the odds of Arsenal winning the league is something 50 guineas. I said, I don't understand. Give me in percentage. Amen. You know, they didn't teach us that one in mathematics. I don't know where everybody learned it. They didn't teach it in school. Go. What does go-go mean? Say, I carry first half. Hypertension will not be doing you as they are scoring. Do not gamble. Amen. That's aside. So we said the message of the gospel does not react. So don't start devising means. The gospel is a specific message. It's a specific message. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, he gave him a message. You don't change it when you get there. He gave him a message. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Are you learning something? Come on, are you learning something? 1 Corinthians 1. Shall preach Jesus. I thought we sang that song earlier. I will open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I'll serve you. Say, I'll preach Jesus. Say, my life is for Jesus. I don't, that's not everybody. Say, my life is for Jesus. Because if it's a conversation about money now, everywhere will be loud. You say, I will prosper in life. I will make it. You will hear it. Say, I will make it in life. Then it's so loud. Let your confession be as loud as your heart. Let God hear it from your heart. Say, I will make it in life. That's what some Christians like. As pastor, we just raise his voice. I see billionaires. Why are we lying? How can you see an entire church, everybody billionaire? Economically, that's not possible. Where would the money come from? I don't know how we think. Oh. So you have a congregation of about 200,000 and you see billionaires. You're joking, right? No country has 200,000 billionaires. I said billionaires in Kobo. First Corinthians 1. You know, you can be a billionaire in Kobo. You are all millionaires. It's different in different currencies. Zimbabwe dollars. One of our missionary trips to Benin Republic long years ago. Then their money was still lower than ours. I think now it's higher. Maybe the Sefa. And when we were converting money, I was happier. I was very rich. I said, I don't want to say I will not be staying in this country.
Let me just go and pack everything from Nigeria, sell properties. I was like wealthy. I was like, I can afford things here. You know, so I'm a millionaire in some places. Amen. You're a millionaire in some places. But the issue is that you want to be it in dollars. You work harder. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Can we read it together? Everybody? Want to go? For in that in the wisdom of God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching, that's the figure of speech. The foolishness of preaching. That is, it looks like it's simple. It looks like it doesn't work. It looks like, pastor, these people are chronic addicts. Are you sure I should not mention this, their condition? Are you sure I should not mention this sin? No. God says, as simple as preaching is, that's how God saves. Don't innovate. Just preach. So it's not a response to human needs. It's a universal truth. Whether it's a poor country or a rich country. Look at Luke 12. Let me show you something. Jesus met someone. Luke 12. Don't forget, we're looking at the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Or the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Anyone? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. So, this is very plain-hearted. Tell my brother to give me part of the inheritance now. And he said unto him, take it, beware of covetousness. Jesus asked him, are you wondering? It's my right. Tell him to divide it. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Because there's a message that we are sent with. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that's verse 15. Verse 14 said, who has made me a judge or divider among you? You think that's why I'm here? Again, we must know our message. Look at Acts 1. Almost in the same vein. Acts chapter 1. As a believer, these are the kind of teachings you must pay attention to. I understand you like, who should I marry? And you like, let's talk about joy. And you like, give me those teachings. Am I thinking at all? Aha. And which one again? Funny things we Christians say. I know you like all those kind of teachings. But these are the core of Christianity. Listen. Pay attention. Hallelujah. This is a training. I told you everybody is ordinary until they are trained. Alright? Acts 1. In verse 1. Verse 4. Being assembled together with them, that's Jesus, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. And John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Now, verse 6, can we read verse 6 together? They asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this... Look at what's happening. Jesus has taught them. He has done glory camp meeting, believers meeting. He has done crusades, spirit-filled life conference, ministers retreat, cell leaders, refreshers course. He has done every meeting. They were... And I said, during the break time, they met each other and said, there's something the master forgot to. He said, which one? Is it about the gift of the Spirit? No, he thought that one. Is it about salvation of the Gentiles? He thought. Is it about eschatology? He mentioned it now, session 4. It's about kingdom. He said, when will you restore the kingdom again to Israel? Look at what they are saying. Politics. Because they were slaves under the Roman Empire. They were being bullied. They were being ruled over. He said, after all these things, he said, we will receive power. Is it now that you will restore the kingdom again to Israel? Look at what Jesus said. Can we read what Jesus replied? Want to go? He said to them, it is not for you. But to know what? The times and the power that the Father has put in. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come up. So how Jesus just dismissed that. It shows you that the message of God's kingdom is not about politics. I'm saying that now. We have a lot of places, joints, where everything is political. Pastors using the altar, the pulpit of God, for personal agenda. That is not the gospel. The gospel does not support any party. The gospel does not care about the economy of the country. The gospel has nothing to do with it. See, we are citizens of Nigeria. But we are citizens of Zion. Heavenly Jerusalem. Two different places. Two different things. But Pam here is a card-carrying member of a party. Do I support the party? I don't have any party. There was a particular president he voted for I didn't like. At all. Does that affect our relationship?
Eh? The same way, even though Buffet supports Chelsea, which I don't understand that decision. That decision needs wisdom. You have to have wisdom of God to change those kind of decisions. And as many of you that support Chelsea, I don't know. You need prayer. You have to understand it being enlightened. But that does not affect anything. Well, I'm not saying because support Chelsea, we never lead anything in this church. No, he led us in songs this morning. Hallelujah. Because they are two different things. You don't use the gospel for politics. They are not the same thing. Will you return the kingdom again to Israel? Jesus said, that's not for you. That's not what we are talking about here. So it means if they can ask that question, it means it was never part of his message. You hear what I just said now? If they could ask that question, that all about our politics, it means that it was never part of his message. It didn't include it. So the message of the gospel is clear. So by the time Peter will now rise up in Acts 2, he has heard Jesus preach. Jesus has taught them what the gospel is. He has taught them that it does not involve politics. It does not involve. By the time Peter will rise up in Acts 2, and the accusation was, are these guys drunk? He just answered that question a bit and changed. He didn't dwell on tongues that much. He just said, this is what was spoken by Prophet Joel. And your son another power of my spirit. And he meant, remember David? And he went straight. You remember David? His sepulchre is with us. But the Lord has really saved you among us. The Bible says in verse 37, Acts 2, their hearts were pricked. The same word that was used for pierced when Jesus said was pierced. Kataluso. Their hearts were pricked. They felt something between them and said, what can we do? So again, the message of the gospel does not change. When Peter was going to meet Cornelius, he said the same thing he said in Acts 2. The same thing. He didn't change any word. Imagine telling a military personnel, repent and receive forgiveness of sin. The military is the one that gives you forgiveness. They are the ones that will dash you and say, don't worry, you're free. Peter looked at him and said, you need forgiveness. The message does not change with people. It does not change because you met a senator. When Philip was going to preach, in chapter 6, verse 10, they mentioned that Philip was part of those who were honest and had honorable reports, right? When he was going to preach in Damascus, he preached the same thing. When he met the Ethiopian eunuch, in Acts 8, imagine meeting the Senate President of Nigeria, or the Chief of Staff. The first thing he said, the gospel is prospering. Open doors, open doors, open doors, open doors. Give him church account. Give him church account. He says, I have a question about the gospel. He said, I have the answer. 01. He said, what's that? Is it a Bible chapter? chapter GTV, sir. He said, what do you mean by GTV? I said, I'm reading Isaiah. Isaiah. He said, like a lamb led to the slaughter. Slaughter our account, sir. Daddy, mo. Daddy. Slaughter our account. No. He met a politician. And the first thing he asked is, do you even understand what you are reading? That is the approach to the gospel. It doesn't change because he's an influential person. It doesn't change because he's an educated person or he's a non-educated person. It doesn't change because he's a very big man in society. No, the gospel is the same thing to everybody. Every man is Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? So I stick to the message. Oh, I can't hear you. I stick to the message. Aha. Peter did not do drama. He said, hey, let me show you. Let me show you how Jesus died. I'm not carrying cross. Now they beat him. He said, yeah, familiar. Did Jesus say familiar? He didn't do drama. I told you, there were a lot of arts and creativity when Jesus was around. Don't forget Herod, the head of the party. Where John's head was away from his neck, right? Abby, what were they doing in the party? Creativity. Arts, festival. Yet, Jesus did not use creative arts to preach. Not once did we see a drama. And if you want to question that, I told you, I was very involved in drama. Very involved. I was featured in a movie. Uh-huh. I was almost part of this Afasule people. Almost. I know everybody there. I went for it for more than 50 rehearsals. It's my dad that did not allow. He said, you want to read. We must show the gospel. And it's fine. I would have been a professor, but a lot of things happened. I was very involved in drama. I think AY can testify. AY was very involved in drama. Oh God, good old times. Amen. But if I tell you that's not the tool for the gospel. Now, do I watch Christian movies? Do I see them? Yes. Do I recommend? So some of you are probably recommend Christian movies. Yes. But Should we now go on crusade? We now put banner, projector. We now say, we want to show Agbara Nla. No. We will display the Agbara Nla. Amen. You don't watch healing, you heal the sick. Hallelujah. Why watch it when we can do it? Say, I can heal the sick. I thought that one would be loud. Next week Friday is the crusade. Say, I can heal the sick. Say, these hands are the hands of Jesus. They heal the sick. They raise the dead in the name of Jesus. We walk in power. We walk in power. We wrought miracles. Why should we show it when we can do it? We are showing that Jesus' name is big. Oh, Jesus' name can do anything. Then let's do it. Let's do it. People don't need drama. They need Jesus. They need the real deal. So again, also, let me just say this. As I was writing this message, the Holy Ghost prompted me to write this down. That because people rejected what you said, does not mean you should change what you are saying. Sometimes, on outreaches, people reject the gospel. That doesn't mean you said the wrong thing. That does not mean you did not say it well. No. It means they rejected. Remember what Mark 16 says? In Mark 16, he said, "This is Mark 16, 15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized is what? Eh? Saved. Whosoever believes not is..." That means there are people who believe not. It's not because of you. They just did not believe. Jesus preached the gospel and Judas still perished. And Judas walked with him for 3 years. He was called the son of perdition. There are people who are not going to believe. That does not mean you now start changing your message. Don't feel you didn't preach well because some people rejected it. Right, there are people who believe not. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want us to pray this morning. So, I'll soon round up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You learning something? Let's have chapter 1. It gives us the background to chapter 2. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, by implication, I taught you implication some years ago. Is it Bible study for sale? For all it's what? No. Is it? I have to study the Bible. I taught you implication. That is, when, is it, for example, it says, "Do not lie. For liars do not partake in the kingdom of God." Now, the implication will be, "Do not also steal. Do not kill." Right? Because it's the same work of darkness that wrought it. Alright? So, the implication of that verse is just the work of darkness. So, you don't look at just the specifics, you look at the implication. Is that okay? Right, so, when it says, "Christ sent me not to baptize," implication will be, Christ sent me not to do drama. Christ sent me not to cater for commerce. But to what? But to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ did not send me to do ceremonies. He didn't send me to share food. Amen. Look up. Christ did not send you to share food. There are people who are in church today who are not saved. I'm not talking about this church. Probably here too. They think they are saved. But what got you saved is that someone is paying your rent. You know, he's always paying your rent. You have to go to church. He said, "I will allow you to be staying in my house. But me, I have one condition." Say, "What's the condition?" "You follow me to church on Sundays." "Church, I'll be there. What service? How many services do you guys have?" "Say, it's just one." Okay. "I thought it's three. I will attend the three." Why? He is staying in your house for free. If you think he is saved and is a disciple, you meet someone on outreach. He was crying. He said, "Why?" He said, "He has not eaten since. You took him to Cravings." Is it Cravings? Huh? "You took him to Cravings. There's one Cravings I recommend. Is that under Ikoto?" "Don't worry. What's it? Mwemulo after service. Wolomo. You took him to Cravings. You bought food. His cravings were satisfied. You went to his house. A bag of rice. Bag of beans. Gari. Akoko. What else? Spaghetti. Oh yeah. Oil. Huh? Yam. Give me fast. Noodles. Alubosa." So you stock up the kitchen. When he himself saw, he said, "Glory." After all of that, remember his problem was hunger. Then he said, "Will you go to church tomorrow? Will you follow me?" What answer will he give? Eh? Yes. Someone is looking for school fees. You gave him school fees. So will you follow me to church? He just paid my school fees of 500,000 there. I'll follow you to Babalawo house. If you say you are going to heaven, I'll follow you to heaven. Now, does that mean the person is saved? No, he didn't believe in Jesus. He believed in you. You are the savior. He's just to die and rise. That's what it means. He didn't believe in Jesus. So you must be careful. What message you preach? Christ did not send me to share food. I don't want us to do a nonsense experiment. But if we say by next week Sunday, we are sharing food in this auditorium, put the banner outside, free food, 9 a.m. Come with your family. Come with your dancing shoes. Free food and drinks. And take it. And I say, bonus, take away. With take away. See, all manner of food. You now put the picture of the food there so you can understand context. Put jollof rice, put amala, put inyong, put whatever. List it, stir fry. Watch how many people we are going to have in service. I can bet you we owe three kinds of services. You will see phrases and say, ah, what cell is this? Ah, it's not a cell, it's a prison. It did not come from any cell. Why? You did not preach the gospel. That's false discipleship. Christ did not send you for that one. Amen. That's why even after Jesus gave them bread and fish, they came again. They did not see me in that same location. They took boat. They took Uber. They were looking for him around the town. When they saw him, they said, what the meeting yesterday, we did not finish it. Just said, we finished it. When I went to my told people, you gave us bread and fish now. They are here. They are outside. He just said, no. He said, no. He said, they are not going to call bread. Though. I can't call the word of God in your mouth. He just said, you did not look for me because of the word. You are looking for bread and I will not give you. He said, give us this bread. Because give us this bread. I will live forevermore. You don't share bread. I told you, be careful how you disciple. Be careful how you make it look. Fine, you want to help people. You want to be a good person. That's what we learn from Christ. But that's not how you preach the gospel. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? So Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said, if we don't preach the gospel, then the death of Christ is in vain. You have made it of none effect. So the gospel is not about commerce. It's not about gays or no gays. It's about Jesus for every community. Christ is our message. Say, Christ is our message. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So that means there are some people that will perish. But to them which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world knew him not. For it pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. So it will come in chapter 2. First Corinthians 2 now. Verse 2. Now, this should be the mantra for every preacher. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I am determined not to know anything among you. How about that? How about you're going on outreach? You have anything to know. I'm determined not to know anything among you. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear and trembling. When you say fear and trembling, that's sincerity and humility. You see it in Mark 16, 8. You see it in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 15. Ephesians 6, 5. Just give you reference. When you say fear and trembling, it's basically for sincerity. I was with you in much fear and trembling. Can we read verse 4 and 5 together? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. Want to go? No, I'll wait for everybody. Everybody. Yeah, I think you have the Bibles. Want to go? And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Look at that. He says, my speech and preaching was not with the enticing words. I didn't toast you. That's what I'm saying. The way you toast. You know, you stop preaching the gospel like you are trying to sell a good. Say, I see all that is going on in your life. I understand. And I feel what you feel. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus can make you the king of your town. If you believe, say amen. I want to say, amen, amen. But you're not in the royal family. How did you? Hear me. I believe. You believe what exactly? Stop lying to people. I know surely that God is going to raise millionaires. Yeah. Amen. Millionaires, really? Like that girl that's looking for a billionaire at 30. I told you on Thursday. See, my spec is a billionaire. Must be a billionaire. I must be less than 30. Where will you see him from? Even if his father has money, he cannot be a billionaire at 30. In dollars. So. I'm a billionaire at 30. The average of billionaires is 57 to 62. That's when people become it. Because it takes time to build wealth. But one pastor told you that you'll become a billionaire next year if you can sow. If you can sow 15K. How do you think 15K will make you a billionaire? If you are not a thief, if stealing is not in your blood too. And greed, covetousness has colored your life and it's about to spoil it. How do you think that you will sow 15,000 and you want to reap 1,000,000? You are a thief. There's nothing you should be saying about this. You are a thief. And you should you think I want 15K, pastor. And I want to carry money by the grace of God. The person that becomes the millionaire is the pastor. And you just see G-Wagon. I'll tell you. I believed God for it last week. This is how God does his things. You saw my car downstairs. Glory, glory, glory. Everybody shout glory. It's work for pastor. It's work for me. You are the one that made it work. You had 100K. That was the last balance that was needed. You made it work. The Bible does not teach that. That is not the gospel. It's not, don't invent it. Don't create it. Don't spice it up. See, pastor, I know those people. Yeah, pastor, I preach on campus. Young people don't like all these kind of messages, though. Pastor, I know what they like. So, you have never shared the other prophets. You never shared. So, you'll be sharing, who should I marry? Pastor, these are the kind of teachings I know that my disciple will like. No. Give them balanced diet. You listen to military teachings. I take that a prophet. I'll take care of your finances. Well, God will take care of you. You know, you look at all around. Exactly. He says, it's not enticing. I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. Don't tell people they'll become famous because of Christ. Why? What are you doing that will make you famous? Are you very good at what you do? Is that, you know, two things can make you famous. Is that you're very good at what you do or you're very poor at what you do? Hallelujah. If you are very poor, like poor, you'll be famous. Who is this idiot? Why is he doing it like this? Then you are famous too. Why do you want, again, why do you want to be famous? Answer the question. Why? He says, for the glory of God. Really? If it's for the glory of God, I like that. Amen. So he said, the message of Christ is with his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, he says, look at verse 5. No, verse 4 again. Can we read verse 4 again? Everybody, want to go? And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. The word demonstration means to shine light. My preaching was to shine light on the Spirit's power. My preaching was to shine light on the Spirit's power. So, again, we have known what the gospel is. What's the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ for our sins, for our redemption. He has given us the forgiveness of sin through that, right? And now we are a part of God's family. Clear. Is that the message we still keep hearing? Yes. That is the gospel. How should it be preached? Without entertainment, without enticement, all right? Without experience, without addition, without emotions. It must be preached just as it is. Just as it is. That is the gospel. He said, Christ did not send me to do ceremonies. Christ did not send me to share food. Christ did not send me to do this or that. No, he sent me to preach the gospel. If I don't preach the gospel, the cross of Christ will be none of effect. You have none effect, rather. So, he says, how else do I preach? I shed light on the Spirit. See, I shed light on the Spirit. Apodexis in the Greek, Apodexis, to shed light on the Spirit. Now, go back to Mark 16, where we are coming from. That's our text. So I shed light on the Spirit. Verse 15. So, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wait, let me ask this question. Look up. The gospel we are going to preach to every creature, is it different? Huh? One gospel? For every man, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes, verse 16, look at the Bible, and is baptized in the gospel, is saved. Whosoever believes not, is damned. Can we verse 17 together? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. Say, I cast out devils. So, now, he says, as we preach, we shine light on what the Spirit of God is doing. And one of the ways we do that is that we cast out devils. Don't forget where we're coming from, right? Apodexis. My preaching and teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but to shed light on the Spirit of God's power. How do I shed light? He says, cast out devils. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Pray for me as I close. So it means that believers can cast out devils. People who have been oppressed, who have been under the influence of darkness for long, who the devil has had under his cold for long. He says, we can cast out devils. I 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 cast out devils. You believe that? You believe that for yourself? You believe that for yourself? That the work of darkness can disappear. You believe that? Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh my, oh my. I remember I followed Bolaolu Koka, one of the people who I was privileged to work with earlier on. I was about 2006, 2007. And he was taking us on outreach. I was a young boy. And I remember we got to one house like that. It was at Okeado, Ibadan. And as we got there, he told us, I see darkness all around there. Daytime. We entered and he just said, why is everywhere dark? The truth is, everywhere was bright. As bright as this place. He said, everywhere is dark. He was talking to the other brother, Bro Gwenga. We were just young teenagers at the back. I was wondering, what is he saying? What is he saying? I said, everywhere dark, like how? He said, everywhere is so dark. And the other brother was saying, it's too thick. It's too thick. Me and my friend look at each other and said, what is he nonsense? We actually had a vigil the day before. And we are sleeping. Then if you sleep in the vigil, they will put candle wax. Put it here. Or here at the back of your ears. It's quite painful. Yeah, pray. Not this prayer that you lean on the wall. Wall. But Allah will make you be doing like this and be praying. I say, which one is that? We in school. Rabbi was. He said, if you can now sleep on Okada, then we know that we need to cast out devils from you. So apparently that's why we did not see any darkness. We were seeing light. And he said, this place is in thick darkness. He said, no. And he began to speak in tongues, himself and the other brother, because they splitted us in groups, Sister Ruth and some other sisters were also. And immediately, there was a young lady that came out. I said, what are you looking for? He said, we came to preach the gospel. Said, there's nobody around. Hey, young lady. Yeah, probably 14. About our own age. 14, 15, 16. We came to the video and said, nobody's around. And I look at her and say, you know you can't stop us, right? Me, I was wondering, why is he fighting a small girl? Because Brother was about 30 something then. Because we were shouting at the girl. I said, ah. Me, I say, sir, now, it's a girl. You see, I say, me, Mokoko. He said, you know you can't stop us, right? I said, that's I'm stopping you. Very innocent face. That's I'm stopping you. He said, you know you don't live here. Ah. I said, someone came out from the room. He said, he does not live here. Oh, myself, my friend, Gabe. Oh, how can someone come out from the room and say, she doesn't live here? Are we not the ones that live here? And he said, if you don't get out of this place now, whatever you see, take it like that. Ah. Me and my friend, we already had the judge's hand. I already understood what was going on. But I would say, in the name of Jesus, get away from here. So people in the house are coming. They face me and face your house. They say, coming out. Say, where are you talking to? We were the only ones seeing her. To them, we were talking to thin air. Now I understand why she said, you don't even live here. Ah. To be honest, I wanted to run away. I wanted to run away.
No, we just, and she vanished. Like that. And they started preaching. None of that. There were a lot of people who were sick in the body. There was a fever that was recurrent in the house. And it appeared like when he leaves this household, he goes to this house and goes to this house. So they felt like it was just a viral thing that everybody was communicating. They had a nurse that was coming to the house to treat everybody one by one. Meanwhile, they had a demon just servicing everybody one by one. But it took a believer to step in and say, get out of this place. How many places have you visited on outreach like that? May you not be preaching and demon even sit down with you. Okay. When they like village, a man teaching here. That's demon talking. You know? Like village, a man teach. Go aggressive. Ah, nah. I'm full of God's power. You know, I see as I ought to see. I see as I ought to see. And I cast out devils. So this sign shall follow they that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they will cast out devils. Jesus is not saying like a suggestion. He's saying this is going to happen. This is going to happen. These are the eventualities of our preaching. These are the possibilities within our reach. That the devils will disappear in the name of Jesus. That's what he's saying. So when I go on outreaches, Jesus says, I'll cast out devils. Jesus says, I'll cast out devils. See, everywhere the gospel is about to be preached, the darkness is always opposing. I remember there was a service we had in this church some years ago. I'm just saying this now. And I was just standing here. And from the back, I saw something. I said, great, you're standing. Normally, I would not pay attention. That's not the first time I'm teaching. Not here. But that was the first time here, and that was the last time. I've seen it over and over, even when I was younger. And I was just here. Normally, I spoke to one of my, in SU then. He said, yeah, just ignore. Just ignore. There's a distraction. Just keep preaching. But then I spoke to it while I was teaching, but you guys probably will not know. It looks like, and everybody said amen. And that was it. And he left. Demons are nothing. I'm going to say it again. And I get the power of darkness to confront the name of Jesus. Demons are nothing. And Dromach said, I fear a boy of four holding cane than a demon. And actually, I actually fear dogs than demons. Amen. I don't fear demons at all. There is absolutely nothing you can do to me. I'm saying it again. There's nothing. Because the name of Jesus is a strong tower. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. 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 Be careful of your Christian life. There are times where you ought to be sensitive. If you are caught sleeping at that time, be careful. Be careful. There are times on outreaches where every word you say matters. And that's why I said, Christianity is more than you put on clothes on Sunday and you go and dance. No, it's way a lot more. A lot more than that. We begin to go into realms. Realms. God wants to take us higher. Higher. In our work and experience. In our walk and experience. In our seeing and knowing. In the things we perceive. In how we walk with Him. God wants to take us higher. Oh, there's an open door right in front of you. There's an open door right in front of you. To walk on in greater dimensions of God's power. There's an open door. There's an open door. There's an open door right in front of you. Step into it. There's an open door into greater power. Into a greater power than you have ever known before. There's an open door. There's an open door. There's an open door. This year for you is growth and growing. It's growth and growing. To grow in the things of the Spirit. To grow in how God wants to walk through you. You know, you're going to see things like never before. And you're going to do things like never before. You are going to say things like never before. You are going to walk in much boldness like never before. The Spirit of God is at work in you. To do great things. To do great things in the kingdom of God. To cast out devils. That's what he said. So in my name they will cast out devils. How about that? How about you see a young girl who has been crippled? And this is not a medical condition. It's just a demon. Mental health. Mental issues. Mental issues. There was a young man when I was growing up. His name is Michael. And I remember the day I was going to lay hands on him. He's way older than I am. He's about 10 years older than I am.
he was working for a rich woman, 3 houses from us. You know, but you know, he's old, but the way he talks sometimes and the way he does and the way he walks, he's not, he doesn't look like Down syndrome, he doesn't get anything. But like by yeah, oh man, something like that. So I felt fine. And it was a day I just finished praying. And God said, you're going to go lay hands on him and you'll be fine. It's a demon. A demon. Michael. You know, when you start calling someone who's 10 years older than you, Michael, because that's what everybody does. Say, Michael. So I went to their place. I greeted the woman and they said, where are you looking for? I said, Michael. She says, there's, let's look for him. I saw him. I said, the dark has nothing on you. Darkness, get away. Get away. Let everything be open right now. Let him begin to reason like the way he ought to reason. And he was just looking at me. For about 5-10 minutes, he was just looking. He could not see anything. He not moving. I even thought, because I thought I've caused greater wala. He was just looking. And when he was going to talk, he just said, who am I? All his life, he was just, something else was living through him. He just said, where am I? We have authority over demons. I told you there are things that if I have not seen, you can now convince me otherwise. I have seen demons cast out. I have seen the devil put to shame over and over again. And it will happen again. It will happen again. It will happen again. To cast out devils. He says to speak in tongues. I love the power. He says, when we lay hands on the sick will recover. You know, we are going to shed light on God's power. Amen. Men are going to seek God for who he is. He is the healer. All manners of sicknesses and diseases. Oh, Jesus, we trust in you. Oh, Jesus, we trust in you. To heal, to restore. We don't care how many years the sickness has been. We don't care how chronic it looks. We don't care how. Say, no, Pastor. No, there are some sickness that you feel. Let me just lay hands on this one now. It's go. And there are some that you ask yourself, if nothing happens, what would they say? Nah, something will happen. In the name of Jesus. 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 As we lay hands on the sick, we trust God's word. We look to the heavens where our help comes from. And we say, sickness is disappear. Can we pray for ourselves this morning? Even as we prepare for our crusades and our power outreaches, that in the name of Jesus, we shed light on the Spirit's power. We shed light on the Spirit's power. In the name of Jesus, sicknesses are healed. Oh Jesus, we trust you. It's not by power, it's not by might. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. These hands are healing hands. They force darkness out. I trust the name of Jesus. He says every believer can cast out devils. God's power is at work in me and towards me and through me. Are you praying at all? We walk in the exceeding greatness of his power. We walk in the exceeding greatness of his power. The same power that snatched Jesus from the grave. The same power that snatched Jesus from the grave. Is ours. We see blind eyes open. In their numbers. Blind eyes open. Blind eyes open. In the name of Jesus.